Real quick before the episode starts, I just wanted to update you on the status of Prodigy. I saw a review asking how often episodes would be released. I completed more than the amount of episodes I promised iHeart I would. It was only supposed to be 8 for this season, but this is 13, and I still have like 5 more already recorded. I'm just so busy with my other responsibilities that I can really only work on it in my free time, but I promise I'll put out episodes as quickly as possible. I actually have some really good ones I've been working on about UFOs and cybersecurity and podcasting. They just might be a little bit more spaced out than usual. Also, after those are done, I'll probably just keep making the show in my free time. Anyway, thanks for listening and cue my serious voice. If you won $100 million in the lottery, what would you do with your time? You've probably heard this prompt before. The answer is supposed to be what you're passionate about. What is your answer, though? It's weird because I definitely would still podcast, but it would be so different. I'd hire people to do the boring stuff and just make content for fun. I hate that exercise, and I think it's pointless. But figuring out the thing that you'd be better at than any other thing is really interesting to me. Throughout the course of this show, I've talked to a ton of experts, and my conclusion is that your level of interest in something is the biggest factor in your success. That might seem sort of obvious, but I don't know. Now, life is chaotic, so things don't always work out right. But how do you even go about determining what you'd be best at? Testing still feels rudimentary in this regard. I wish so much that there was an easy way to just know. I used to be really into making videos, but after years in the industry, I kind of felt that I just wasn't that good. Like, I never had that spark inside of me that other people have. I don't know if it was my career path or what, but I'm envious of people who just know. Even if you think you know, it's a gamble. I mean, most people aren't financially set up to take a risk like that, quit their job, buy a camera, and wish for the best. They have bills, kids, and a deficit of time. I'm not gonna sit here and feed you some bullcrap like anyone can achieve anything, but I do think that searching for different things in your free time is definitely worthwhile. You may find some cool hobbies or maybe even your passion. They even have these things called maker spaces now, where people teach courses on things like woodworking, sewing, photography, even podcasting. I'm teaching a course on that next weekend. Anyway, this episode is about a photographer named Ida John. She quit her job and pursued her passion of photography. My name is Lowell Berlanti, and this is Prodigy. So my friend Sebastian Phillips did the original intro song for Prodigy that I just played. He's currently dating Ida, and when he showed me her work, I was blown away. You can see it on Instagram at idajohnphoto or on our website at idajohn.com. She even took a very nice photo of me I'm using on my dating profile. I'll post it on the About page on prodigypodcast.com. All right, let's hear her story.
My name is Ida John, and I'm a 27-year-old full-time photographer based in Atlanta, Georgia. I was born and raised in Atlanta, but my parents are from the Gambia, West Africa, and I'm currently living here with my family and my 7-year-old daughter.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, so were you born in America, I'm assuming?
Yeah, born in America.
Yeah, because you have no accent.
No.
And how did you get into photography?
I got into photography because I've just always liked making things. Like, just being able to create something with my hands has always been so appealing. It's always drawn me in. So anything that I've come across and seen, oh, that seems pretty interesting, I'll just pick it up and just try to figure out how to do it. Before photography, it was knitting, crocheting, and sewing and stuff like that, just always making something. But photography was always there because my dad was kind of into it. He wasn't serious about it, but he had a camera. And wherever we would go, he would bring it along. And I was just always so intrigued by seeing this thing that he had with him all the time. So I started to practice with this like cheap little camera that I had, and I would carry it with me everywhere I went. And up until around the age of 17, I just had my camera with me all the time. And I liked photography because I could show a different perspective with how I saw things. But I put my camera down at around the age of 17, because I had one what I would consider a bad shoot. The shoot didn't go like I wanted it to, and I wasn't at a confidence level that I could rationalize. So I put my camera down. I figured that photography wasn't anything that I could ever do anything with. And I picked it back up after I quit my job 3 years ago to just do it full time. And I can tell you a little bit more about that.
You've only been doing it for 3 years?
Yeah, full time. Mm-hmm. Before it was like, you know, I'm a kid carrying around a camera, taking pictures of my friends and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But so, I wasn't serious. Yeah.
Okay. So what job were you doing before that you quit?
I was working at Wells Fargo, actually. I was a bank teller. I actually got pregnant at 19. Let me kind of backtrack a little bit. I was pregnant at 19, had my daughter when I was 20. And having a child so young, not finishing college, I hadn't finished college at that time either. Like having a child and being a single mom, I wanted to like seem like I was doing a little bit more. So that's how I rationalized that. And I was there for 3 years. And it was just a really bad situation. I was gone for like 9 hours out of the day, and she was at daycare all day. I'll drop her off at 8 a.m. and I wouldn't see her till like 6 when I would pick her up later in the day. And she pretty much knew her daycare people more than she knew me. That started to kind of eat away at me. And my work environment also wasn't very positive. It was like there was a lot of bullying there, a lot of like gossiping and just a lot of pettiness. Just, you know, in these small ecosystems, people tend to make small things really big. And there was a lot of that going on there. So I was just unhappy generally. A lot of things were just happening in my life and it wasn't what I saw for myself. And one day I just decided, you know, life is what you make it. If you want something, you have to at least try and see what's going to happen, because the thought of one day being old, like being, you know, 75 years old and looking back and saying, I knew I could have done this at the age that I was, but I didn't. And the thought of that, it scared me enough to where I figured no matter what, I have to figure out something else because this isn't working for me. So I actually registered at Kennesaw State University. I wasn't planning on finishing, but I needed the refund. I went there to get the refund check so that I could buy my first laptop to get started with my business. And I quit with no savings. I had nothing when I quit at all. Like I just had the refund check. I bought the laptop with half of it and I had to make the rest of it work. And I figured that putting that pressure on myself, having to make it work, was going to actually make me do it. And it ended up working out just like that.
Why'd you choose photography over something else?
Photography has always been something that I remember enjoying fondly. It was always something that was there. Like, I could think about other things that I liked, but photography was always in the background, like as far back as I can remember. So it just felt right to go in that direction. And also things started popping up around that time that were kind of reminding me about photography. Random customers would just come in and start talking about different photographers or like it just kind of kept coming back up. And I thought, you know what, this is popping up in my life. Let me just see what happens. Like just to see, because I was just so unhappy with where I was.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like that's pretty common. Like people just get to the point where it's like gradually worse and worse and worse. And then they're like past that threshold of they're so unhappy that they're like, I'm doing something else.
Exactly.
So you went to Kennesaw State for photography?
No, I went there for entrepreneurship.
Okay. For one semester
and then I stopped going.
Right. Because I mean, being a photographer is basically running your own business, even though you are also like providing the service, you know, did you do photography while you're in school or what?
So during that time, I had to make sure that I was practicing as much as possible. So I was doing what would be considered collaborations. I wasn't getting paid for most of what I was doing, but it was building my portfolio to where I'll be able to present that to potential clients and like just sharpening my skills and stuff like that. So I wasn't, honestly, that first semester when I was trying to make enough money to support myself, I probably made $3,000 the whole time.
Yeah, so you were working and going to school?
Yeah.
And raising a child?
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, so that was a lot.
That sounds hard.
It was hard, but it was still better than what I was at before.
Oh, yeah, because you felt like you were working towards something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even though I didn't know what that something would be, the fact that it was for me was worth it. Because, you know, before, I mean, I was giving 9 hours of my life every day to this corporation that I wasn't going to get anything out of it. No end in sight. And I started to see that this is nothing. I was making $840 every 2 weeks. I remember that specifically.
Wow, I thought bank tellers got paid more than that.
No, and I was the lead teller, too. After taxes, after all of that, $840 every 2 weeks.
What, that's like there's like $35,000 a year or so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah, or less, I think.
It's less, yeah. And I, you know, and at the time it was okay for me because I thought it was like, it was something. But I started to see, you don't have to settle for like nothing. That's not anything for someone that wants to have a life that's like really vibrant. And that's what I wanted. So it's, I figured this just won't work anymore for me.
Yeah.
You know, I went there and I feel like I did get something out of working there. People skills, for instance, I've worked with so many thousands of people just, you know, over the years at that bank.
Oh, is that how you learned how to be nice, or are you just actually nice? Or
I'm nice, but I learned how to hone it in. I learned how to develop the, I guess, the charismatic aspect a little bit.
I think salespeople say that, like, when they do, like, a summer when they're younger, like, going door to door and knocking on, like, 15,000 doors or whatever, they develop, like, some sort of, like, special charisma talent or something. How did you, like, learn how to do photography at a high level?
I'm obsessed with it. That's the best way. Yeah. Like, this is, if I didn't have to get paid for it, if I could finally figure out how to have other streams, I wouldn't even get paid for it because it's literally, like, the thing that I like to do in my spare time. I wake up at 2 a.m. with an idea, and I'll go in my garage and try it out, like, on a teddy bear or something like that.
Oh, man, that reminds me of that. That documentary on Netflix, Jiro Dreams of Sushi, where he'd be like, he'd like wake up in the middle of the night and like write something down about sushi. And I was just like,
yeah.
They call it Rage to Master.
Rage to Math. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm gonna look into that. That's interesting.
Dr. Ellen Winner. But so that is very common for people, like when they don't, you know, and it doesn't necessarily happen from a young age. Sometimes you're just at whatever age and you like find something and it clicks and then you just become a bit pervasive. I don't want to say obsessive, but pervasive about it.
Yeah.
So you were just spending all your time learning it any way you could. It wasn't at school.
Not at school at all. I didn't learn anything from school. I mean, about photography in school. For me, it's more so, since I do enjoy it, I will try anything. I don't say no to any type of possibility. If I think of something, even if it's a little bit weird or it doesn't sound like it should make sense, I always do it anyway, just because you never know what that could have been. And I think that not trying it, you just kind of close the door to all those possible opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather like not keep cutting those things off.
Well, they do say, right, like when you learn the rules, then you can like learn how to, where you can break them.
Yes,
right?
That's very true. I feel like I finally gotten to that point. Before I was very, it's all about like being technical, like knowing what percentages each light is at, you know, in comparison to one another and their ratios and, you know, I was like measuring lights off to the degree of how far off they were from the subject and just being a little bit too, just, you know, too much until I realized that there's no rules in art, like at all. I could take a photo that's completely blurry and someone might think that that's the most amazing photo that they've ever seen. So that makes it more comfortable and like just less stressful because it's like you can kind of do whatever you want. Not kind of, but you can if you allow yourself to.
Yeah, well, it's stressful to me to think that, like, I'm getting paid for it and they may not like it.
Well, I ask my clients now if they can let me do whatever I want. And they always say yes. Because when they call, I noticed a pattern after a while. When we have our consultation calls, they would say, honestly, I don't know what I want, but I've seen your work and I trust you, so do whatever you want. And I'm attracting those kinds of clients, and it's working out the way it should because I won't do wrong by them. And I'm always showing them the photos as I'm shooting too, just to make sure that they like it. So I make sure that it's in a way where they're getting something different and creative, but they're also liking what they're seeing too.
Yeah. They're like, what type of haircut do you want? I'm like, just do whatever you think looks good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's why I have this awesome haircut now because, but yeah, no, I'm definitely about trusting the creative. And unfortunately it can get bad in the wrong environment when it comes to working with certain clients. But the clients that are like, we trust you, we like your work, I feel like those are the best ones. And
right.
So how did you go from learning how to get better at photography to like having your own business?
Well, okay, so the summer before I quit my job, I decided, all right, what do I need to do? And I figured I need to become a really good photographer, of course. How do you do that? You practice. So I was maybe doing 5 or 6 shoots every week. I would just message people on Instagram that looked interesting. And I would say, hey, can I take pictures of you? And they said yes, most of them at least. And we would just go to random places outside and I would just take photos of them and just like, you know, just practice the things that I've been learning on YouTube especially.
Yeah, YouTube University seems to be really popular now, yeah.
I hate to say this, school is not necessary unless you're going for something specific.
Yeah, I know, I totally agree.
It's true. I mean, and I think that we need to start normalizing that because people can be much happier when they realize that you can do what you like and do it well and make money if you're doing it the right way.
Yeah, I guess the problem is figuring out what you like sometimes, you know?
Right. I think people should try things, though. I wanna inspire people to try things more.
That's what I tell everyone I date. Sorry.
Just try it out.
Yeah, you were talking about how it became a business.
Yeah, so it became a business because it had to. Like, I went into it just kind of jumping with no parachute, just like, this has to work. I have no choice. Because knowing myself, I was the kind of person who would never finish anything, or I would kind of stop at the first sign of resistance when I had a backup plan. But I had no backup plan in this case. So I was practicing while turning it into a business. So my prices were dirt cheap. I was charging like $70 on Craigslist. And like, that's where all my clients were coming from.
Oh yeah, I got started on Craigslist too.
You see,
yeah.
It's so easy.
Shooting like weddings and stuff.
Yes.
And the $150 and they wanted a lot, let's just say.
Yeah, and then you would do it too and then realize, yeah. Wait a minute, what am I doing?
Yeah, then you're like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yes.
I'm gonna raise my prices and.
We all start that way though,
yeah,
at least,
yeah.
You know, like just to see what you're actually worth, and you're practicing during that time, and people aren't, they're not opposed to getting something that's at least pretty good for a lower price. You know, it might not be super professional, but it's pretty good.
Have you found like that the clients that have the lowest budget are the hardest to work with, like the pickiest, they expect the most?
You know, the funny thing is that I can detect it now. When I get an inquiry and they say anything about, like, you know, they question price in a certain way, you know what I'm talking about? And I realize, oh, so you're gonna be a little tough. And then I might see if I'm gonna continue on with that or not.
So have you gotten to the point where you realize it's better to turn down certain jobs?
Oh, I do that. Like, before, I definitely had more of a scarcity mindset to where I was just taking whatever till I realized that since this is my passion, I'm not going to do it in a way that I don't want to do it because I don't have to.
Yeah.
So I won't.
Well, also, like, doing that job sometimes takes away from other stuff, you know? So
mm-hmm.
It's tough to figure it out. But once you get boned a few times, you do.
Yeah.
Because I did just do freelance video stuff too.
So, okay, I'll be completely transparent. I'm the creative, I'm not the business person. So it took some time for it to turn into a legitimate, you know, running business. It was a quote business, but you know how like many small businesses start off. They're not.
Yeah, you're 1099, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like that. So I was just, you know, running through Instagram, Craigslist, like I said, and just doing, I was probably doing maybe 4 or 5 shoots a month. It wasn't a lot at all. The first year and a half, my months were anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 each.
And what camera were you? Well, first off, that's like about at what you're doing with the bank, right? But with much less work.
Oh, way more than what I was doing at the bank with way less work, which is why I tell people to try this stuff.
And I got to ask because I'm a techie, but like what camera were you shooting with in the beginning?
At first, I had the Canon 5D Mark II.
Yes.
Oh, you had that one.
Yeah.
It's a good camera.
It was like for video. That was like the first DSLR. Well, it was the DSLR that like exploded for prosumers, I guess, whatever you want to call it.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. It's
with
a good camera.
24-105mm L series lens it comes with.
See, I didn't have that one. I got that one for when I got the Mark IV 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the R5 now.
Yeah.
But I still have the Mark II.
And of course, I would love this whole conversation to be about gear, but so, okay, it developed into a business and you sort of figured it out. Like, how did your creative style develop and like, how would you describe it?
My creative style, okay, it's not completely developed yet. It's developing. And I was just shooting what I liked. Anything that, you know, so I would just look through the camera viewfinder and if it seemed interesting to me, I would shoot it that way. And I started to notice that I see certain things being interesting in a very certain pattern, if that makes sense. Like I can see how I like for things to be framed. I don't know if I can translate it very well, but if I look at it, I'll already know how I want it to be set up. And I think that that's like the cropping has a big has a big impact on a photo, because you can easily have like a lot of space above someone's head and it just completely messes with how the photo feels. But I think that my cropping has aided in my style, as well as the color use. I love colors. I love vibrance. And I just like, I like photos when you look at a person and you kind of wonder what they were thinking at that moment. And I try to put that into my work as well. Whether they're looking off camera or they're looking at the camera, it's always with like a little bit more intent, because I felt something when I looked at that photo. Like out of all the hundreds that I took, those are the ones that I choose. So I think it's more of a bold style. It's pretty straight on. Yeah, bold, colorful, and I think there's a certain flow to it.
Yeah, and I figured, you know, when you're new, you're sort of like setting up and just trying to figure out what works. But then as you get more experienced, you can kind of like know before you start what you want and then like do it and maybe do it faster. I don't know. I feel like shoots
for
always
sure.
take forever no matter what, like just the setup.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely gotten faster, but I still shoot for a long time because I do a lot of different things while I'm shooting. I like to try a lot of different things with every shoot.
Did you make it an LLC? Like, did you incorporate and stuff like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I did that in March 2019.
Right.
And I started the business in 2018.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
God. Because I saw your work and I thought you had been doing it for a longer time, which is a compliment.
No. So honestly, what happened was I was literally holed up in my room for like 3 weeks just learning, like on YouTube and just practicing. I mean, I would go walk around with my camera for like 5 hours every day outside, just taking pictures of like leaves. I was very determined to be really good at it so I could make it into a business. So.
Yeah, I guess you just combined the two, but I was like, did you watch a bunch of YouTube videos or did you just go out and like shoot a bunch of stuff and figure out what worked? But I guess it was probably both, right?
It was both. It was both for sure.
Okay, let's take a quick break to check our white balance. Be right back. Welcome back to Prodigy. You can see samples of Ida's work on Instagram at IdaJohnPhoto. Or her website at idajohn.com.
What was the question I was asking?
Yeah, I'm not well, asking we all have ADHD. Yeah. That's scary. Yeah.
You too?
Oh,
you
too? Yes.
Like when she made it or when she initially made it?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like when did you start figuring, you know, I made it?
Honestly, it was really recent.
Are you there? I mean, she might.
It was recent.
Okay.
And I still feel like I'm not where I know I could be. But I feel like at this point, it doesn't really matter because I'm thankful for how far I've come. Because like I said, I wasn't a person who would follow through with things. I would give up at the first sign of any type of resistance.
Pretty common with ADHD people, right?
Very. Yeah. And I thought something was just wrong with me. I'm like, why can't I finish anything? Why can't I do stuff the way that I want to do it? And the fact that I was able to do this, it just showed me you literally can do what you set your mind to, because I wouldn't have thought that any of this was possible before. Back in 2017, when I started to like manifest and stuff and start like writing things down and just really wishing, not even wishing, but working for a change, like kind of transitioning into that mindset. I had this intention to get here, but I didn't, it's like, I really wished I would, but I didn't know if I actually could. But with doing something every day towards your goal, you really do arrive there.
But and what drove you? It was the desperation, right?
It was the desperation. And I just knew that there was something more for me. Like working at a bank was not for me. It didn't feel right. And I feel like I had certain talents and abilities that were going to waste working there.
Yeah, it's a slow death.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm coming here every day. I'm unhappy and wasting all of my time is going to it, and I'm not planning on using anything that has to do with banking at all.
Yeah, you're not motivated to like improve at it.
At all.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm also not a good employee. I don't like to be told what to do. So when they would tell me to do things, I wouldn't do it. And I'm like, I don't want to because it doesn't make sense. So I'm one of those. Mm-hmm. And it was just, after a while, I was tired of getting scolded. I was sad already. I didn't want to be there.
So, moving on to the, like, I guess the point where it started, everything started to fall into place, right?
Yeah, so things started to fall into place when I realized that things are actually possible. And I started reading my journals that I was writing in back then. I hope you keep journals because they're amazing to look back on.
Well, I heard they're great for lucid dreaming if you dream journal.
Oh, I don't do that.
Wait, I don't journal, no. I'm like...
You don't journal?
Oh, I got to remember, set a reminder to like brush my teeth. I don't know if I can journal.
you would appreciate yourself for doing it because you're going to look back on where you were years ago and you're going to say, wow, I was actually in this different place. Like, I feel like you can learn from yourself when you look at what you've said in a different state of mind.
In perspective, yeah.
Yeah. And like seeing what I was writing, I mean, I was nowhere near anything like this. You know, I was writing that I wanted to have a studio, that I wanted to be a, you know, in-demand Atlanta photographer and making over 100K a year.
Well, I think, have you got, I mean, I feel like you're in demand, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I got, I mean, all of that stuff that I wrote about.
I saw your work and I was
about.
Like, let me get some of those photos. Oh, wait, I'm probably too poor to get it. let me work out a barter. What can I trade?
But yeah.
So I was thinking maybe there was like a point where you're like, oh man, I had to turn down like a client or something. And I was like, oh shit.
You know? I mean, well, Miss Universe, getting brought on for Miss Universe was a pretty big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened some time ago. But I guess with those things, even though it's a cool thing to
achieve.
I'm sorry,
can we start over with the Miss Universe?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because Sebastian's fidgety.
Okay, these have a 30-minute record limit and I found out why. It's very stupid.
Fat 32.
No.
Okay.
It's actually a consumer thing. They cannot sell them. They get taxed at a different rate until they record them in 30 minutes.
Should we get him a microphone?
Fuck,
just kidding.
You.
I mean, that's all right.
So tell me about the Miss Universe thing.
So I was contacted about taking the beauty photos at Miss Universe for the 2019 year, like, you know, before COVID. And that was something that really made me say, okay, I guess I'm probably a pretty good photographer if they're willing to use me.
Do you still question yourself, the imposter syndrome?
It finally died. It's dead. I buried it.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. But it was
you saw other people's work and you're like, oh, I'm pretty good.
You know, not just that. Okay. I was hearing what people were charging and what I was not charging. And I thought, wait a minute, hold on. Something is wrong and it's me. So let me change my mindset about that. So that's done with now. Because I see that I do know, you know, about photography, and I can't keep denying that.
People keep giving you compliments.
Not just that, like I know what I'm capable of and what I know. And before, I was kind of embarrassed to admit that I was capable, if that makes sense. But I finally don't have any shame in that anymore.
Yeah, and you do. It seems like you do a lot of Black women, and I was curious, like, why is that?
So for me personally, being a dark-skinned Black woman, growing up a dark-skinned Black woman where I grew up, I mean, not even where I grew up, but in America, period, it was hard because people treat you like you're just kind of separate from...
Yeah, and you're a woman. I mean, come on, that can't be...
You know?
That's like a...
It's a double whammy.
It's rough out there too for...
It is.
Yeah, of course.
It is.
Yeah, for sure.
Being a woman, being dark-skinned, and, you know, I mean, to be real, like, colorism is a real thing here, and I was like...
Oh, yeah.
Things were really hard for me growing up in school, and the things that were said to me and the bullying, and, you know, kids, they can't rationalize those kinds of comments.
Yeah, and adults just keep it inside. They don't
exactly.
say it, but they think it.
They think it, right.
Yeah.
And they treat you a certain way the second they see you. And I've always felt this kind of kinship to other Black women, especially dark-skinned women, because most of them have gone through something similar. So I noticed that you don't often see dark-skinned women represented in a really beautiful way in photography. Like, from what I notice is that they tend to make us look kind of extreme or adding, you know, things that don't necessarily beautify you, but they just kind of like they're just kind of fashionable, but it's not necessarily beautiful. But women want to feel beautiful, and I feel like I've been able to give that to people. Like,
yeah, you can connect with them, so mm-hmm. like you're able to like really capture that. Because I was curious, like how difficult it is or how you have like sort of learned to like bring out like to get that photo, because part of it is like, I guess, right, setting up the photo, getting the shot, everything looks great and it's nice and it's art, but like getting the subject to feel comfortable and to like perform in the way that you mm-hmm. want, like, I mean, that sounds really difficult.
You know, it was difficult at first, but one day I just realized that I should just be myself. I think before I was kind of I was just wanting to impress the client, like just hoping that I did a good job and just trying to be maybe a little bit more than I normally am. But I just decided to just be myself. And I, like, since I do enjoy shooting, I have fun with it. And the client ends up having fun too, because I'm like, it feels like a hangout session. It doesn't feel like we're like you're paying me for this service. Like, we're talking, We're relating about things. We're laughing. There's music. My shoots are very relaxed. It doesn't feel like you're at something professional at all. Like, and not in a bad way, but it's like you're talking with a friend, because I genuinely feel like a connection when I work with people. Because, I mean, I'm there with you for 1 hour minimum, and we're just talking the entire time. So you make a connection that way.
You look like you should be on the other side of the camera, too. So do people ever tell you that?
They do, but I'm so camera shy and awkward in front. Well, okay. I'm not awkward in front of cameras anymore. I just don't like to be on camera.
It is like a different thing.
Yeah, really. That's what it is. I don't like it. I've tried it before. And you know, like, just to prove to myself, and it just doesn't work for me.
Have you ever tried taking photos of your boyfriend? Like, that guy is handsome, you know?
I have.
That's your private collection, though?
It's not private. I actually have them. No, they're not private.
You share them? Yeah, send me a link. They say you're supposed to set the mood. The client looks to you for cues and like how to act, or like the client or the guest or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's something I'm definitely still figuring out.
I always pose my clients too, because since I've done so many shoots, I know what looks good and how I want the photo to come across. And I've gotten to a point where when they walk in, because I don't know what they look like before they come in. So when they walk in, I can immediately assess like how I should light them or how they should be posing in the photo, just based on, you know, what they look like, their body, because it all does make a difference.
You think that's from experience or natural talent?
Experience.
Okay.
Because I did not know that before and I was struggling. And, you know, you touched on having a lot of Black women.
Yeah. And pregnancy photos.
And pregnancy photos as well. But I actually have decided recently I want to start expanding my... the people that I shoot, because I do love diversity. Like, as a person in general, I love every color. To me, we're all, you know, just beautiful people. And I don't want to feel like I'm just being exclusive.
What about like a fat redneck?
Could we do something really artistic, I'm down.
Like a cheeseburger. It's like a
it
metaphor.
Could it could work.
Yeah.
I can see that. I can imagine that.
Can you make me look sexy?
I can.
Oh, nice.
Guaranteed.
Oh, perfect.
I can make anyone look sexy.
You're already sexy.
Okay, let's take a quick break to Photoshop in some abs. Be right back. Welcome back to Prodigy. You can see samples of Ida's work on Instagram at IdaJohnPhoto or her website at IdaJohn.com.
What does a photo mean to you, or what do you think like the power or importance of it is?
The importance of it is that it can mean anything to anyone. It can mean something different to anyone. It just depends on who's looking at it. So you can go into it so the photographer, for instance, as the artist, can go into it with an idea of what they want to evoke. They might be successful, but they might not. It just depends on who's looking at it. But I think the fact that it's such a blank slate to insert whatever you want onto it, that's what makes it so impactful. I think anyone can be a photographer. I hear a lot of people denying their creative abilities, but I think that we all are creative. We might just not tap into it regularly or like try to connect with it. Anyone can make something that they would at least like. And honestly, it's so fulfilling to see a photo that you took and it's like, this is a really good photo. And when we make things like that, it makes you feel better about yourself. Photography has helped my own personal self-esteem and confidence. And I know that it can do the same thing for other people. So a photo can just mean, it can mean anything. And I think that's what makes it so important.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it makes an impression on somebody. It's because you do a lot of portrait work. So like if you have like a nice portrait photo, like that, the kind you make, people are going to get a good impression of you, you know, right? And then they're going to show up in person and be like, oh, they catfished me. Like, just kidding.
The thing is that I never change people from looking how they, you know, actually look. And thankfully, I noticed that when I take people's photos, it tends to become their profile picture. So that means that, you know, something's being done right.
Yeah, I was going to make some of your photos my profile picture too.
Just wait for yours.
Yeah.
Tinder profile.
Ooh, no. And how come you do no inquiries via DM?
Because I'm not a social media person. It drives me nuts.
Oh, well, then you should hire someone to do it. Because,
I have.
Okay.
Recently, okay. Like within the past week.
You're like, yeah, no, dumbass, I already thought of that.
Because via DM, I have to go to my booking website, type them in, do all this stuff when they can just go to the booking website and type it in themselves. Mm-hmm. But when it's me, it ends up taking a lot longer. So it's less clutter.
But what about if they have questions?
Well, people are asking about my prices via DM.
And you're like, go to the website, there's the prices? Or is it like you quote differently?
I ask them if they can just fill out the form on HoneyBook. Okay. Because so like through HoneyBook, I can just like click the brochure, send it to them immediately. Mm-hmm. But when it's like via DM, then we have to go back. You know, mm-hmm. I have to ask them for the information, go to HoneyBook, type it in myself, then send over the stuff. So it's just more streamlined when they go that way.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Tell me about this spiritual awakening that you were mentioning.
Okay. So this is something I'm still trying to process and figure out because it's the kind of thing that I would have rolled my eyes at if I were like the same Ida from a few months ago. When I say that I've like found myself through photography, I've noticed that I see things differently. For instance, like running your own business, you know, being an entrepreneur, you kind of have to grow a little bit faster if you want to be more successful. I wasn't good with money. I wasn't good with sticking to things. I wasn't good with discipline. Just purely wanted to take photos and nothing else.
Well, you're limited by your time, right? Because you're providing the service and you only have a certain amount of time.
Right. And I wasn't managing any of it well. The one thing that I noticed that always stayed consistent was when I would have like full faith that things would happen as they should, good things would happen. Like things would happen the way that they were supposed to. But I realized that I had such a stronghold over every outcome in my life. I was always trying to make things happen a certain way and like move things in a certain direction. And things just kept, I kept running into these walls. Till up until a few months ago, I realized that I just hated posting on Instagram. It was making me like stressed, like sick to my stomach for some strange reason. I was like, what is the problem? And I realized it was because I wasn't really liking what I was making. I felt like I was just shooting for Instagram and not shooting what I actually enjoyed. So I started to think more about creativity. And I heard something specific that said that creativity comes when you're not thinking. It comes when you're just kind of letting things come to you. And it made me realize, well, yeah, your creativity is coming from your brain, which only knows what it's been taught. Like your brain knows your memories, it knows what it thinks about the future, and it knows how it views itself, like, you know, the person that you see yourself as. So you can only reference what you've seen before. But when you just let things come to you, that's when you make things that you've never put together before. That's where actual creativity comes in.
Wait, so like instead of intentionally trying to make something that you think people like,
yeah,
just trying to figure out what you like?
What I like, and like trusting myself to actually do that thing. Because what I was doing was coming up with an idea and thinking, it might not do well on Instagram. And then I wouldn't do that idea that I had that I personally liked because I thought people might think I'm weird. They might think this is weird.
Well, yeah. I mean, social media, you can judge your work by your likes, you know, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I started to think, you know what? But likes, what do likes actually mean? It doesn't mean anything. It means whoever Instagram showed the photo to and if they chose to like it, depending on whatever was going on in their day that day. Like there's so many different factors, but I had to be consistent myself. So I started to realize that over time, like things just kept happening within my business, within my life that would teach me different lessons. So I started to essentially like surrender and stop trying to just control everything and being really worked up and stuff that just doesn't matter. And I started reading a book called The Power of Now. Have you heard of that? By Eckhart Tolle. Tolle, yeah. That book, when he really clarified that you are not your mind or this body or anything that we identify as is not actually us, that is something much bigger, the way that you're able to monitor your thoughts or monitor what's going on, there's this kind of awareness that's always in the background that is actually you. And the way he explained it, it finally made sense to me. And he said that that version of you, which is connected to something much bigger than you, that's where the creativity comes from. Because when you're not thinking, ideas just kind of come to you. Like, let's say you're just in here and you're just kind of, you know, focusing on your environment, right? and you're not trying to think about something or force something that you've already seen before. You're letting things come to you.
Like mindfulness?
Mindfulness, exactly, mindfulness. So I realized that being mindful is realizing that you're not these ideas in your mind or the person that you see in the mirror either. It's not you at all. So realizing that, it was like, wait, so we can actually do anything we want to. And any type of limitations we've set up for ourselves isn't true, because the ego is not real.
Yeah, I mean, mindfulness is known to be a very powerful effect for reducing anxiety.
Yeah, because you're realizing that the past does not exist anymore. The future doesn't either. Well, the future has never existed, but all you've ever had to experience is the present moment.
Well, I think it was like, you know, for me, it would be like worrying about things that I can't change. But like, sometimes I feel like when I think about, sometimes I'll think about something in the past or the future a lot, and then eventually I'll make a realization that I need to change something. Mm-hmm. But thinking about things that, like what you should not be thinking about is hard to know sometimes. And,
right.
But I do know that, like, yeah, mindfulness is great for, you know, meditation, relaxation, and stuff like that. But it seems like it really had a profound effect on you. And what type of, like, results have you been seeing since you started implementing that?
So it's not even that I implemented mindfulness on purpose. It's that I started to just trust that gut feeling, like that inner version of myself, like my higher self was, I started to trust it and listen to it. I'll go ahead and tell you a funny story.
Yeah, you're becoming an artist, right? You're like going from the inside instead of like thinking what people like.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, this is me. This is what I like. Like the person that's not judging, like, because I was judging my own insights. And it's because I was trying to conform to what I thought was okay. That's what was happening. But I got arrested a few weeks ago. And that happened because I had a speeding ticket back in December. Long story short, I missed the court date. I tried to go down there to pay the ticket. The court was closed. Went down there the next week. And on my way down there, a cop pulled me over because he ran my tags and thought there was a warrant out for my arrest because I missed my court date. So long story short, I ended up going to jail, like sitting in a jail cell for, was it 3 hours or something, 4 hours? And the issue was that I was 50 miles away from the court that I was heading to pay for the ticket that I missed in December. I was on my way there when I got arrested. The officer phoned down to that county and said, hey, you know, we ran her tags. She's showing up as being, having a bench warrant for not showing up in court. And the county that I was supposed to be going to told them to hold me in that cell. So they impounded my car and they drove me back up to the county that I was arrested in. So they held me in there until I think 11:20. Court in the next county, 50 miles away, closed at 12. So an officer came up. He sped 100 miles an hour to get me there on time. I made it at 11:58. But while I was in that cell, I was actually calm. And that would have never happened before had I not thought that everything was going to be okay. But I've started to realize that things happen exactly as they should when they're supposed to. So you should trust whatever happens, happened that way for a reason. Everything is that way. If you miss a light when you're when you're in traffic, that happened for a reason. You don't know why, but it was supposed to happen that way.
But why?
It just is.
Oh. Because I am the type of person that needs to know why.
You know, and I'm the same way. And when I stopped asking why is when things started to actually work. I've asked why for everything. You couldn't tell me something and I don't ask you why. With this, I feel like we all have certain things that we're supposed to fulfill, like certain purposes. And I do feel like your higher self pushes you in that direction until you get there. Because the person, like I said, the person that I was before photography is not the person that I am now.
But what about people who like fail and they like are on their deathbed and they didn't accomplish all that stuff that they wanted to, you know, like what is that for a reason too?
I guess so. I guess that, you know, they probably just didn't take certain opportunities and then in their life that ended up being their outcome. I don't know why, But for me, I feel like I feel very compelled and being pushed in a very certain direction because I've let go of all of, like I said, the control that I had over everything. It's honestly, it's so new to me, the fact that this is happening, that I'm even having a hard time explaining because I would have never believed what I'm saying myself. Because this sounds, me saying it, I can't believe that I'm saying because it's crazy.
Because you had a personal experience. And that's what, until you have a personal experience, you know, you can't ever convince someone until they have it too.
Right.
But obviously it's driving you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's very powerful and will like lead you to do even more amazing work than you already have.
That's the plan. Because the things that have been happening, I know that coincidence can be, there can always be coincidences, but these things haven't happened before. The fact that there's strangers walking up to me saying, you're having a spiritual awakening right now. Can you imagine that? Multiple people, you're just randomly walking and someone stops you.
I'm going to start walking up to people and just saying like, oh, it's you. I had a premonition.
No.
just to mess with people. I've heard that before.
Happened.
Like people are like, somebody stopped me and said something and like it had a profound effect on them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like random people. And just many, many things have just been lining up. And
Too many things to be like, it's just a coincidence.
And I'm a skeptical person. So when it started happening, I was just like, no. And then it started to just become too blatant. When you messaged me the other day about that, which is something I just thought about, my sister earlier, I thought about her, and I hadn't thought about her the whole day. The second I thought about her, half a second later, she called me. And that stuff has been happening multiple times a day, every day, on like different degrees. And I just can't keep denying it today either. Mm-hmm. My phone service cut off earlier because of my phone wasn't updated, so the cellular thing failed. So I kid you not, it sounds crazy, but I listened to my intuition and I found the location strictly by thinking, I should turn here, I should turn there. It sounds crazy, but that's exactly how I found her. But it sounds crazy.
So since you started, accepting this and sort of listening to yourself, how have you felt that like your work has changed, your art?
When I tell you this has happened in the past,
okay, it's very new,
2 weeks. Mm-hmm. After getting arrested is when it started. I think the fact that I was so accepting of the situation and I knew that I was going to be okay, while I was sitting in that cell, there was blood on the ground. Like it was disgusting.
Yeah, it sounds
in there.
Like
it was bad.
It is interesting how these sort of moments can just sort of alter the direction of your thinking.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating. No, I love the idea that everything is, you know, connected and, you know, life has meaning. For wrapping it up, I wanted to say, what type of people are you interested in working with? Who type of people should hit you up?
I want to teach people photography.
You want to teach people?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I find a lot of joy in sharing my love of photography. And I feel like when I get really passionate and vibrant about it, it rubs off on people. And I just want people to know more about it and just see how fun it is and how you can really make something meaningful out of it. So I plan on starting some classes in my studio. And then from there, I'm going to start releasing products of like actual courses and stuff like that. Because I needed that when I was starting off. But it was hard to find one that was comprehensive enough for a beginner like me.
Well, you want to mentor people. So people who want to be mentored, like how should they get in touch with you?
They can email me. And we can go from there. Like mentorships for sure, coaching, classes. I will be opening up my YouTube channel soon as well. So all of those.
What's your email?
It's ida@idajohnphoto.com. So that's ida@idajohnphoto.com.
And your Instagram?
@idajohnphoto. IDAJOHNPHOTO.
What type of people should contact you if they're interested in getting a photo work done?
If you're not a photographer, contact me if you want something different, something fun, and something that is not family photos or something else like that.
It's portrait work, right?
Portrait work, or, you know, if you have like a really cool concept, I'm always open to trying people's concepts with them because I think that's really fun. So, yeah, cool concepts, just fun stuff, creative. If you want color, if you want something that's bold, you want a nice portrait of yourself, the most beautiful portrait of yourself that you've ever seen, come to me.
Thanks so much to Ida. You can see samples of her work on Instagram at IdaJohnPhoto. If you want to book her, then fill out the form on our website at IdaJohn.com. I can't rap without mentioning my favorite a-hole, the multi-talented Sebastian Phillips. He does video and music production in Atlanta. You can find him online at pkt.guru. Prodigy was created and produced by me, Lowell Berlanti. The executive producer is Tyler Klang. Prodigy is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.